Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Come on, even if it's for 1 minute, from the very depth of your heart, wherever you are, lift your voice and bless him. I want to hear you say it loud and clear. Bless him. Let everything within you bless his holy name. For he deserves all honor, he deserves all praise, and he deserves all adoration. Give him praise. Thank you, Father. Oh, we bless you. 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 We thank you for this season and for doing what only you can do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, we bless you. Yeah, someone is understanding the drill. Go ahead and bless him. You deserve all honor. You deserve all praise. You deserve all adoration. We give you praise. Oh, thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you. We bless you. And we give you praise from the very depth of our heart. We give you praise. We honor you, Lord. We honor you. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. You deserve it. Oh, we bless you. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. We honor you from the depth of our heart. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Hallelujah. I want us to scream it loud and clear. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, can we shout better than those who are in the stadiums?
Thank you, Jesus.
Better than those who are watching football? Let's give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. All right, you may please be seated. Thank you so much, Streams of Life. God bless you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, today I start a new series. Now, this is going to be a brief one, just like an interlude before we go to the main course. Is that okay? All right, I want the media. Are you ready to project the new series? Please project the new series so we can start straight up and we can begin a new work. Dominion. Amen, amen. Somebody scream it, Dominion.
Dominion.
Come on, say it again loud and clear.
Dominion.
Now, if you pay keen attention, you would, particularly if you try to get my teaching on Sunday that I taught in Lagos and had with this, you should never remain the same. Alright? The believer whose life you can't help is the one you can't make listen. Are you following what I'm saying here? The believer whose life you can't transform is the one that you cannot help to listen. Are you following what I'm saying here? The entry point of light that transforms us, all right, is our heart. The Bible says that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. with which he searches the inward part of the belly. Are you following what I'm teaching here? All right. So that light enters through your heart by the word. How? Through the word. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are spiritual, and then they are life. In him we have that life, and that life is the light of men. That light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. Now listen, if we have gotten our theology right, our experience should be predictable. Have I lost you there? Do you understand what I'm saying? It means that the very life that we have in Christ, all right, is a predictable life. That is, the believer does not belong to the category of those that you can expect for any eventuality to just happen to. If that is what you have received, what is the difference between you and those who are in the world? And then someone asks, I say, what about John 3 verse 8? That the wind bloweth, we hear the sound thereof and all that. What about 2 Corinthians 5? Give me 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 13. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 13. Now, there are levels of seemingly unpredictability, all right, that were described in those two scriptures before I go into the subject of dominion. And the reason why I need to lay this foundation is so that you know that you are not learning cunningly devised fables. Are you following me here? I said, are you following me? Now, let me jump 2 Corinthians 5. Let me jump a bit, all right, so that, let me jump to verse 15 and 16. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15 and 16. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now look at it. Said, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now know we him no more. Now went on to say, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Talking about the fact that when the life of Christ enters into a man, you cannot judge him by his appearance. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright, so if you have known this guy and you have your conclusions about him, you have your conclusions as touching what you think is wrong with his life, or probably what you think is his disadvantage, or what you think is messed up about his life. Maybe someone you felt was given birth to out of wedlock. All right, and like Jephthah that was casted out as a bastard, or someone you felt is born in a family where people don't rise, or someone you feel like nothing good can come out of this place because nothing good has come out before. The Bible said, if this man is in Christ, we used to know him after the flesh, but now you don't know that man again. So it means it is a new life. Somebody say a new life. Come on, say it again. A new economy. Now, let me tell you something for certain. By the time we are done tonight, you see, this thing, we are starting like this. By the time we are done tonight, when you get out from this chair today, the next time you are sitting on this chair, it will not be the same person. Are you following what I'm saying? You just follow me. Amen. So, what that means is that the sum total of a Christian is not his appearance. It is not what he wears. It is what wears him. Are you following what I'm saying here? Oh, that's the sum total. How can you? All right. How can you? On Sunday, I told you that what you have in your account is a level. There are some of us that we have it in different accounts around the world. Just call for it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Even Job captured it. That when man is cut off like vapor, he disappears. So it means that something was compressed to fit into this earth. And guess what? The moment that man becomes a new creature, the very God of the whole universe is now living in him. You can't conclude that man by his inability to pay school fees. Because the one who lives in him started the whole heaven and earth with the capital of the word. As long as he can speak, leave the rest. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Good. Say it again, I'm a new man in Christ.
I'm a new man in Christ.
Say it again.
I'm a new man in
One more time.
I'm a new man in
I am not after the order of Adam, the fallen man. I am after the order of Christ, the life-giving spirit. This is my reality. I am seated in Christ, with Christ, far above all principalities. Now, no, you've not gotten it. And I know, when you get it, there's something that will happen. Amen. You've not gotten it. You will get it. Now, look up. The greatest problem of man since God started the world, all right, since he began everything, the greatest problem of man is his inability to believe who he is. That's the greatest problem. Because in the first place, the fall came because the devil promised him what he was. The devil fell because he wanted to get what he was not. But man fell because he wanted to get what he already was. And we still have that problem. Because you are a being in time. Your manufacturer is not in time. There is what you are that you have not become. The reason we have the word not yet become is just because of time. But you are. I've lost you there. Can I come again?
Yes.
There is what you are. So let me give, for instance. Okay, we have some of our children at the back there enjoying themselves. So if let's assume we have a three-month-old daughter. Is she a girl? Is she a girl? I mean, I know what I'm asking. Is she a girl? But when people carry her, they say, baby. But actually, she a girl. A female child. She's a female child. She has a womb. God is not trying to install it as she grows. The package came. The difference between what she is now and then is time. When God protects her, He doesn't protect her based on what she is now, but based on what she is and has always been in his agenda. Because where that thing is settled, she's a woman of God. But this is a woman of God that was. So this is the way, you need to understand this. Let me show you. This is the way your life is. When you want to do anything, let's say for instance you want to make rice. You start by boiling your water, am I correct? The guys don't answer because I know you. You boil your water, you rinse your rice, you are confused. You rinse your rice, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Then you boil, am I correct? Then you check, then you add more water till it is softened to your taste. So you, based on your own order of creation, you start a thing and take it to the end. That's not the way God works. God finishes it, then commences it. Listen, the work of faith now will be to not just see yourself as one who is being commenced, but the finished. Once you see the finished and confess it, listen, nothing can stop you in between. Nothing. But the moment you fail to see the finished, the devil can change your script. And can tell you that actually nothing was finished. So he said, I know the thought that I think towards you. They are thought of peace, not of... To give you an expected... That is... Do you understand that? The end... You don't have an expected end if it's not fixed. Do you understand?
So somebody's trusting God for a child and the person is worried. Well, what are you talking about? There is an hand. And in that hand, you don't have a child, you have children. Amen. Do you understand that? Now, listen. What I want to say is, sit down for a while. Sit down. Let me build you into what I want to say. If you live strictly by the information in time, you'll be frustrated every day of your life. Because time is judged based on the past, the present, and future. Nothing more. Something is missing. Time is judged based on the past. All right? Day before yesterday, past. Present, 6:00 p.m. Future, tomorrow. Human calendar is not judged based on settled. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. That reality of settled is out of time. Because where it is settled is where God's realm is. Do you understand that? And that's why you are not talking faith if you keep having futuristic tenses to your word. God will do it. He will make it happen. That's a statement of hope. Faith is always now. It is always God has. Because you are trying to talk. You are reduced to your tenses. You barely talk from the settled unless by revelation. Will, future. That's your time zone. For him, it is always done, done, done. So you don't call him Alpha and Omega. He's Alpha, Omega, beginning, end. Happening at the same time. Do you understand that? Have I lost you? Put your right hand on your chest. Say it loud and clear. I am more than this. I'm going somewhere and we need to climb. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. This is teaching. Amen. Say it again, I am more than this.
I am more than this.
Now, let me show you something. Let me link the gap between faith, between time, between joy and dominion. Is that okay? That looks like a big deal. Well, hold on a minute. Now, let me have someone. Okay. What is that one thing you wish to buy now that you can't afford? That's why I use the word need. That's not a need. What's a need? Something that you need to buy, but you can't afford. You're thinking? No, take your time. Take your time. Sit down. Think. Is there anyone who has an answer already?
Yes,
all right. Okay. Marvelous. Marvelous has gotten up already. Okay. Both of you come. Since you're here, let me ask you. What's the need? All right. Yes, and you? All right. So, can I say to the people, do you mind? All right. So, she said she needs a new phone. All right. Now, hold on a minute. And then she said she needs a new laptop. Now, hold on a minute. The both use of word are very wrong. And let me teach you how. It is never faith if it is general. It is not faith. How can you say you are trusting for what you don't know? There are many phones. Now, hold on a minute. Now, hold on, hold on, hold on. Now, hold on a minute. Now, I'm going to show you how this works. Now, what I'm about to say now may make you feel a bit of pain, but don't worry. Okay? Now, so that you can now take that pain and go back and copy and paste in all aspects of your life. Now, listen to this. When I called people out, I wanted to give $150,000. Just take for what you want. Do you understand that? Maybe, what can it, that should buy a small phone at least. But should that phone have been specific? So, at what point, listen, at what point was the phone robbed from you? From the point that you were not specific in your request. So, hold on, that's why I said you're going to feel some pain. I'm not going to change my mind because this is how things work. Hey, this is how things work. How do you trust God for an helper when you don't know what the helper should do? There's got to be job description that your heart is yearning for. Specific. That's the language of faith. Okay. Don't worry. Next time you know what to do. Let's give them a big hand. But okay, marvelous, come. But I'm not still, it's something else. Don't worry, something else, but don't worry. So let me give this illustration. So let's assume, this is marvelous, and this is 2023. Okay? Marvelous, you don't drive a car yet. Okay. So she's not driving a car yet. So she just wishes in her heart, I wish I can get a car. And then something happens. By December 2023, the dad just calls her and says, Marvelous, would you mind taking that muzzle, Toyota muzzle? Say, oh, well, I need it. Now, listen. The difference between marvelous now and marvelous then is time. Let me show you what time looks like. Time. Can I have the pastors please come? Because I need to be able to explain. Without this, please stand beside me and spread a bit. Join your hands together, spread. Can I have the second row? Come, join them again. Join your hands together. Can you shift back a bit? Can I have that row? Join them again there. And all that. Can I have that row? Join them again. So, yeah, spread if you can. Spread if you can. To the hands of the walls, thank you, if you can. Now, this is what eternity looks like. You can't tell the beginning and it seems it has no end. Time is a fragment of that eternity. Now, step up a bit. No, join your hands together, but you come, those of you that have held. Alright, so time is like a chunk of time without end. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now I'm talking about, because time is measured in two ways by the Hebrew word, chronos, human calendar, kairos, seasons. In this human calendar, which is a fragment of eternity, so let's assume 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, at least 50 years. In that 50 years are chunk of seasons and bonds of seasons and bundles of seasons and bundles of seasons. In that seasons, God has trapped everything that you need. And this is man. This is man and this is time. The time is his time. In this time, there are seasons. There are seasons. There are seasons. The reason why there are seasons, because there are investment of God there for him. So the Bible says that God makes everything beautiful in their time. That is, in their time means in their season. Now listen. It is not God is bringing beauty. It's already there. You are the one who has not gotten to the period that they are. But it's there. It's yours. Trapped and waiting for you. When you understand this, your joy is not when things happens in the physical. Your joy is when you see what God has hidden for you. That he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings spread across different time zones, which is seasons, chunks of our lives.
When a man thinks like this, this man can't be dominated by time, because depression is a sign that you're overwhelmed with time. What you are depressed about is what God has done is eating there, but you are not yet there. But the design of God for you is to see where you have not gotten to and be there in your spirit before you get there in your flesh. I've lost you. Oh Lord, I'm trusting you. Who is my husband? Who will I marry? According to what is finished, it's there. You can't go about being depressed. Oh man, it's coming, because you have not seen it. You cannot have dominion over things if you don't have dominion over time. And I'm not saying that time stops working for you. It just simply means that you function by a higher oscillation. What is the higher oscillation? The settled. Not tomorrow. Not next tomorrow. The settled. That's the higher oscillation. That it is settled. When it is settled. When is even a question of ignorance. Because the one who settled is not one, you ask when. It began before eternity began. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So this is faith. Faith is the substance of things in a time zone I have not got into. The evidence of things that those who walk by this human calendar can see. The only one who is rejoicing and excited is me. They feel I should be pitied, but I don't walk by their time zone. That's faith. So it means that if this guy gets here and then gets a car, I say, ah, glory. It's okay to be happy. But joy must be constant. Because joy is from the perspective of the Spirit. It is from the finished works. It is not from what is going to happen or what. It is from what is settled. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everyone feels you don't have these things yet, but come on. I've got joy because where I'm coming from, the time I walk with is settled. I said the time I walk with is settled. The time I walk with is not tomorrow. Not next year, not upper year, not next 10 years, settled. If I can get you to understand this, I've done a good job. Say it again, it is settled. When will you get a job? When will you get married? When will your spouse come? When will you buy your car? Now, hold on a minute. The issue with those who say tomorrow is that they get depressed tomorrow when it has not happened. But us, it's settled. I want to say something, but it's going to rattle your theology, so I'm just going to stop there. Say it loud and clear. It is settled. Say it one more time, it is settled. So, I am not there yet. But where I am, it is settled. So, you can't possibly come and discourage me. You can't discourage a man who is aware it is settled. The man you can discourage is the one who is unsure. The one who is not certain. Say it one more time, it is settled. Now, sit down for a while. Sit down for a minute. Sit down for a minute. Give them a big hand, please. Sphere of Light Church, when are you becoming a city in every city? Settled. It's a settled business. Hey, I'm asking you again. When are you becoming a city in every city? Well, one of the things you must understand about it is settled is that it is happening even now as much as it is going to happen then. It is happening even now. It has happened. It is happening. It will happen. That's the meaning. It has happened. It will happen. It is happening. That's the meaning. It is what? Settled. Say it again. It is settled. Now, when you operate from this realm, people will think you're a liar. Because calling for the things that be not as though they were, in normal human language, simply means to lie. Please be seated. That's what it means. Say it loud and clear, it is settled. When will you be healed of this sickness? My healing is settled. It is. It is. And see, hold what I've shown you now as a foundation. Is that okay? Do you understand that? Hold it as a what? As a foundation. So let's tie some knobs. We open a new tab, then we'll tie some knobs. Now turn your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1, we start the reading. Genesis chapter number 1. Amen, amen, amen. Let's start the reading from verse 26. Genesis 1 from verse 26. And God said, oh God, help me to explain this. And God said, let us make man in our image. Can you please give me this in amplified translation? And after our likeness. And God said, let us, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image and after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, that tame the beasts, and over all the heads, and over everything that creeps upon the head. Yes, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now you want to ask the question that when the man that God said in our likeness is both male and female. But why does it look like some males are more successful than their female counterpart? The one who dares to believe succeed. Religion has taught women otherwise. So God blessed them. Look at the blessing. And he said to them, be fruitful. Multiply. Now, you want to think naturally that be fruitful is the same thing as multiply? To be fruitful means produce. Produce. When, listen. Amen. When you have a tree that has a fruit, you say it's a fruitful tree. So it's producing. Amen? You are producing. Now, listen. To multiply is to replicate. There's a slight difference, and we're going to get there. Okay? Because, now, listen. Sometimes it is very easy to multiply than to be fruitful. Yeah. Because that sounds more, it sounds more logical. It's more like saying, fill the earth. If they are the same thing, God will not say it differently. But this is the real situation. You cannot multiply until you are fruitful. We cannot have other expressions of Sphere of Light Church multiplication around the world if there's no one here. So when we go to a territory, we bear fruit. Then to multiply means to replicate that order. The tree is first fruitful. Then you replicate trees with fruit. You've not gotten it. Be fruitful first. This is a tree. Carry fruit. Multiply the same effect. So, now we have many trees with fruit. That's what it means. So it means that
By the order of God's creation, there is consistency in what we produce. What I carry is not just for a territory. It works everywhere I step. That's what it means. That's what it means. So it means there is no soft ground and hard ground. The mandate on my life bears fruit and spreads anywhere. That's the blessing you carry without knowing. So you succeed in this business and fail in the other. You are being fruitful. You are not multiplying the fruitfulness. Do you understand that? You succeed in marriage and then you fail in finance. You are being fruitful in that area, or you are not multiplying the effect. Multiply. Fill the earth. What you fill the earth? Many fruitful trees. Oh, God help me. The issue we have is that you feel you cannot be fruitful until you get to America. But if what you carry is genuine, it should work everywhere. It should work everywhere. So it means as a pastor, there's nowhere you are sent to that church can't grow. You are not, you've not touched it, but we'll touch it. All right. Look at it. God bless them and said to them, be what? Fruitful and what? Multiply. Fill the earth. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. That's our purpose. Use all the vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. So let me explain that word there. Because someone just look at the word dominion and say, well, the dominion mandate God gives us is to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every other living thing. So God did not say that we should have dominion in our industries. He didn't say that, because God didn't mention industry. Yeah, yeah. That's rubbish theology. Now, just right, like the Bible said, that if you have faith, like the mustard seed, you tell the mountain, be thou removed, and cast to the sea. The issue is that when most people read their Bible, what they see, yeah, is the size of the mustard seed, not the seed. They pay attention to the size. But that's not the object of conversation. It's actually the seed. What that scripture is saying is that if you have a faith, it doesn't matter how small it is, but can it grow? You may start out trusting God for something and you don't have complete faith. It's okay. Can it carry the quality of a seed that can grow? If you have a faith that can grow, nothing will stand in your way. That's the meaning of the scripture. Okay? Now, hold on a minute. I'm trying to explain some scriptures. So when the Bible says, please go back to that same scripture we are reading. When it says, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living creature, and all that, everything that moves upon the earth. So three domains were mentioned. One, the water space, then the air space, then the terrestrial space, the land space. So the focus of this scripture is, have dominion over every sphere where man has breath. What's your business with fish? Are you a fisherman? What are the resources that comes out from water? Because God didn't give a table, He gave a tree. What are the resources that comes out? In Israel, there's a technology that they call, is it Moses something? That technology, they sold it to them in Kenya. The technology can convert air into water. Air. You see that? Alright, maybe combining the hydrogen molecules, do the chemistry, and then just air, just the fan rolls, and then water is coming out. Just drawing air, oxygen from the atmosphere, and then converting to water. We have a challenge. We have a challenge in the body of Christ, particularly as touching our theology. Because theology in itself
is a subject that is not fixed. It can be improved upon. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Theology can be what? Improved upon. And because many people, we all have access to the Bible, which is a very good thing. We all have access to the Bible. Thank God for using this German monk, Martin Luther, the one who fought the Catholic priest. In those days, just the Pope had access to the Bible. They control the government, they control the economy, they control everything. Whatsoever they tell the people that the Bible says is what the Bible says. Okay? Until this guy was able to lay his hands on the Bible and found a place where it is written, the just shall live by faith. And just at that moment, when someone was stubborn enough to make sure that his life purpose will be to get the Bible to the hands of everyone on the street, the invention of typewriter came. So, the Bible in its volume as you have it, was someone first sat down to type word for word. That is passion. One of the things you will learn as you study church history and human evolution is that technology actually follows the move of God. Just as we need something to advance the kingdom, someone discovers it. But another problem is that most times those who discover them are not Christians. Because God's purpose must be done whether his children are ready or not. Have I lost you? Are you following me? Now, the fact that everyone have access to the Bible, it's a good news. But also, it has also proven to be a challenge. A challenge in the sense that it means everyone can now have their own interpretation. But the Bible says that the Bible is not to be subjected to any private interpretations. So this one can say, this is what the Bible says according to me. And someone can just come up and say, I was praying, God said this. I think that's the one that is a bit scary. The fact that people are saying God is saying what is not doctrinal. So sometimes when someone is preaching and said God said this, I mean, it should be something we should rejoice and be glad. But oftentimes you listen and you discover that this is a statement out of human bias. This is a statement out of human conclusion. I think I heard someone saying that God is done with the church system. I said, what? Then what is he coming for? The bride he has divorced. What are we saying? And get the unfortunate thing. To every wrong thing you say, there's a member to say, And the person said, God said. That is done with church many years ago. You see, so many times people say God said, and God does not speak a language that contradicts the written word. He will never, because he cannot break his word. So there are believers that believe that our only purpose on earth is to be born again, live holy, win souls, and make heaven. I have a bit of a challenge with that word, make heaven. Because that suggests that heaven is a product of human effort. It means the death of Christ on the cross was of no effect. I might have lost you there. You see that? So, this one believes that, yeah, we are believers. We carry the light of Christ. We have to shine this light in every sector of the world. This. We carry this light with us. We dominate every sphere. And this one says, no, the only thing we teach in church is Christ and Him crucified. We don't teach on the subject of marriage, just Christ. We don't teach on the subject of this, just Christ. And you all are confused. You know why? Because you have a church, but you don't have a pastor. You are seated in church, but you have not decided this is my pastor. That is this, my teacher. The one with whom God is using to build my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we have many people seated in our churches. They are not agreeing to be pastored. They are pastored by social media. I think I was playing a video this morning. I don't like to get into these matters, but someone said that the angel that said to them when Jesus was being taken up in Acts 1, that it was an angel who didn't know much.
that angel, I said, my God, my God, my God. That's a challenge. That's.
Now listen, angels, listen. Angels are not fantastic teachers. Is that clear? That should be clear. They are not teachers. Angels are not used to communicate doctrine. They were never used in scripture to teach anything. They carry the message of God. Is that clear now? I'm not going to go into angelology, but that's for theology.
So we seem to be hearing much things. Sometimes somebody is holding the mic and is screaming, and by the time you hear the vistas of the cosmos, and you are asking, where did we start from in the first place? And it looks like young people feel that being sound is the same thing as being deep. Being sound is being clear. That people, market women and people who are in school can listen and understand. Some teachings confuse those who are listening more. And they want, where do we start from? Do you understand what I'm saying? So the question is, what exactly is the Bible saying as touching the subject of dominion? Now, you see, sometimes to put these things in perspective, we have to go back to church history. In year 2000, 1999-2000, there was this issue. Some of you might, Gen Zs, you don't know what we're talking about. All right, there was this issue of this prediction that Jesus will be coming in the year 2000. And guess what? Some people dropped out of school. Some resigned their jobs. Some sold their property. Ah, why is Jesus is coming and you are not materialistic? Why would they sell your property? Nobody to spend the money. Many people's business went bankrupt because they were actually selling their. They so much believed the doctrine. This is 23 years after. He has not yet come. I'm trying to paint a picture. Listen, and please listen to what I'm about to teach you. Listen very well. I'm not showing you doctrine yet. I'm showing you calendar, human history in Nigeria. Is that okay? Let's look at it. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were mature then and you had your family and you sold all your properties and you've been waiting since year 2000 till now for Jesus to come, by now you would have been frustrated, angry, broke, if not dead. And you can actually die like that. Because Jesus did not tell you that that's when he's coming. You got it wrong. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Now, there's also this school of thought that believers are just church. You have no other importance. Now, by the way, the people who are preaching those doctrines, you can afford the microphone you are using to preach that nonsense. Because somebody went out and walked and gave an offering. And the social media you are posting that, you can. What I'm saying is that if we all decide that we'll be sleeping and waking up in church, we'll not be able to afford the fuel for the generator. It will take someone who is doing beyond church to promote the gospel. It's simple what I've said. Is it not simple enough? Is it not simple enough? So, the question is, who is really behind these ideologies? It seems the person wants us to fold up. It means someone somewhere wants the spread of the gospel to end. Now, to this morning, okay, there's this video I shared a while back of a Christian woman that was in the same room, board meeting with Disney World, and they were talking about there's this cartoon series, can't remember the name now, and they were trying to make the female character in the cartoon series a lesbian, and you know, children will be introduced to this. But fortunately, she was the only believer in that room,
And now she was, now listen, when you find yourself in that in such room, the key of access is not the Bible says. You can speak from the perspective of the Bible with blessed intelligence. So she brought an angle from the economic point of view. Then who are our target market? Children. What's their moral persuasion? This. Okay, what you want to inject? We can do that some other time. But if we do that now, we will lose part of our market. You see that now. And then it's going to affect the production and then this. Now she was able to come in directly with something that they can relate with at their level. Jesus never went to tell anybody in his days that you are going to hellfire. When he got to the woman at the well of Samaria, the subject of conversation was water. Do you understand? He spoke at everyone's level. Which Jesus are you representing? This one that we seem to have no ground for conversation. Once it goes beyond the Bible. And even if the people we are talking to don't understand the Bible, we should have a ground and then bring them through the perspective of scriptures back to scriptures. Many will only listen when they find that the wisdom of God is at work. When Daniel got to Babylon, he simply manifested God's wisdom in solving their unique problems. Now, look up, everyone. I said this, I can't remember when. That sometimes to dominate, you don't colonize a man's culture, you infiltrate it. That is, you come and inject a perspective that is attractive, okay? And then you gradually introduce the perspective, and then you win it over. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, God, listen to what I want to say now. God is not scared about injecting his own children into systems. The only thing those children should know is that there is a curriculum for survival. And then there's a curriculum for dominating. You can survive the corruption of a system and still be useless within the system. You are not corrupt, but you are not useful. You are not corrupt, but they can't call you for matters that requires a high degree of intellect. They can't call you for matters. They can't call you to contribute when the matters get to where it gets to. You are surviving well, not drinking, not doing all those stuff, but you are still not useful. The idea of that is that it's just a matter of time. You'll be kicked out. Now, I just want to come from the perspective of church history. Is that okay? Now, Nigeria is going through a very, very serious one. And I think it is an insult. It is an insult to the body of Christ. It is an insult to the investment of Christ in a nation. It is an insult to come out from whatever perspective and say that God is not interested in the political matter of a nation. It is an insult when the same God says that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked man rules, they groan. And God said to Moses, I've heard the groan of my children in Egypt. That's a government conquering them. And God sent a man. Why did God send a man? Not because Israel was special. Israel was special because they were carrying Christ. Someone in that lineage was carrying Christ. You didn't get it. That's it. Israel looks special above all nations. The only reason, the substance of the Abrahamic blessing is Christ. The reason why the jealousy of God was vested on them, why they were punished and sometimes restored and punished again, is because God has an investment. The question is, does God have an investment in Nigeria? How dare you say that it doesn't matter to God? Because we barely stand in the middle when it comes to doctrine. We are always towards one extreme. Either some people are believing we should do this without God, or we don't even need to do this at all. But there is a balance. We bring the influence of God into every system. That's the balance. Anywhere lives, and by life I mean anything that affects human lives, is being determined. In order, just the same way we tell you now, the spiritual controls the physical. What that means is that to everything working, there's a back end. The back end controls the front end. You understand that? the movie you are watching, some drafted the script. And when that girl was going to pull off her clothes without wearing anything, some people went through the script, but there was no one to say it's not necessary. Or no one to say with a level of intelligence powerful enough that it's not necessary. What they want to hear is the perspective and how that affects their money. You can give all that, but you are speaking also by defending the gospel without mentioning because it is written. So, listen. How dare you complain about Big Brother Nigeria when the same you say God is not sending anyone to entertainment industry? How dare you? You cannot complain about what you permit. You have no right to. You cannot complain over what you permit. Now, listen. And because of this conflict of ideology or conflict of doctrine, many believers who have what it takes, blessed by God, to get into these places and shift things, don't even know what to do again, and those things are wasting. And those who are not as smart as them are entering those places and getting things out. Who has done this to us? Who is behind the lies and the heresies and false doctrines peddled everywhere? The devil. Who is the lying tongue in the mouth of teachers and prophets who have yielded to him? The devil. Now, what I do is that I sit down with different perspectives in line with scriptures and also ask if we should continue with this. Is there an historical perspective to this line of thought? Yes, there is. In the 70s and in the 80s, in fact, it was so bad then. And I'm sorry to say this, but I just have to state the obvious. It was so bad then that many people were not allowed to have television because it is the devil's box. And it really now later became. Because when light vacates, don't blame darkness. Darkness is simply the system that takes advantage when light is not shining. This is simple enough. The issue has always been, we are just going to heaven, so we confuse holiness for holiness, and say we are just going to heaven, so we package ourselves and then say this world is not my own. I'm just passing by. Let me give a perspective to that. And I'm not saying this to mock the memory of the dead and all that. I say this under God. I apologize if you feel so. I searched through most of the songs of Jim Reeves, and I got concerned. So one time, 2012, I sat down and I picked my phone, googled it. How did Jim Reeves die? Plane crash. The same thing is happening now. The devil seems to be riding side by side at the same speed with what we call revival. When we are at the peak, we get so passionate that we also bring death into what's supposed to be life. And then it sounds so much passion. And those that God wants to give influence, say, I belong to the generation of the nameless, faceless. No, influence is not nameless and faceless. And people start saying that, even if I die now, I'm ready. Where is the part of with long life will I satisfy you? Have you no purpose to stay and do? Is this world not better with your presence? Why? It's simple. It's the devil. We lose our guts when we are at the peak of revival and start saying, oh, the powerful things. You feel powerful when you say that. People are saying, But it doesn't change the fact that you are trading something. You are trading something. You are picking a part and you are saying, I don't want the rest. You are trading something. And the church has, we've always made that mistake. I mean, you would not believe that Muslim ticket can be pushed on a nation. Listen to this. When you check the real start of this nation, we have more Christians than Muslims. Check me anywhere. We have Christians in South, in Southwest, in Southeast. And we're everywhere in the North. We have Muslims everywhere. But the first place to defeat them is to first infiltrate the census board. And get their guys there. And understand that there's power in the mentality of population. And make sure that something is projected that we are more than you. And if we are more than you, obviously we can rule you with our own rule. A state governor was saying that we're going to do this for 25 years.
And unfortunately, we still have pastors who feel it's normal. So when you go to Abuja, there are grants in this nation you don't even know exist. But if you're a Muslim, you will know it exists. But you are praying and fasting for what God has provided for in government, but one of your kind is not there. Or one of your kind is there who didn't go to the curriculum of integrity. And we come back and just say, "This is, what are you talking about? How did we get here? The gaps we created in the 70s and the 80s. It's not filled yet." And someone says that, we've had believers in power at some point. They didn't do well. Listen, believers who didn't go through predictable curriculum. It's not about believers. It's about those who bring the influence of the kingdom. Not just Christians. We don't lack Christians in power. We lack kingdom men. Kingdom men. They are two different people. We lack kingdom men. Those who understand the agenda bigger than their belly. And it begins from now. And that's why God is trying to set process in place for you to live beyond your belly. If your belly controls you, if you get there, you will also fail. It's just our conclusions again and again. Again and again. How dare you say that there is nothing called teaching of marriage in the Bible? Huh? What are you talking about? Do you know the warfare that faces marriages? And now that there is a need for us to have teachers, did Jesus speak about marriage? Yes. And guess what? Jesus spoke about money more than he spoke about anything else. Yes. Yes. Many of these guys, if they were around in the days of Jesus, they would call him an heretic preacher. They would call him a liar. Many of them. Too holy for Jesus. Because when Jesus came, he shifted the whole system. It was too radical for their liking. One time he was going to heal a man whose hand was withered on Sabbath day. And the Pharisees were watching him. Will you do this on Sabbath day? And so he told the man, stretch out your hand. And the hand grew. So they said, look, God. He said, which of you will have a ram or a sheep that falls to a ditch on Sabbath day? And you will leave it there till the following day. So you will go after a sheep. But you will not go after a person. You are a liar. The wisdom was just too much. They will come to his God. They will look for occasion they can't find. Christianity is not anti-wisdom. It is not anti-wisdom. It is not anti-wisdom. Wake up! So, we are only powerful in church. And what do we do in church? We do what they do outside in a spiritual way. They protest against the government, we protest against God, who has equipped us to go outside and do what we didn't do. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. And those mentalities seems to be getting deeper and deeper again and again. That sometimes you see people in school who just feel there's a calling over their lives. And then they start joking with the academics. Are you aware that there are certain doors that will not open until you bring more than the Bible in? Am I saying something too deep here? Have I lost you? I said, are you aware that there are certain doors that will not open? You've got to bring more. We're not saying the Bible is less. But because they will not listen to your theology first. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they will now do what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. It has to shine. It has to shine. Say it loud and clear, I have been created for dominion. I dominate every sphere that God has planted me. Say it again, I carry the influence of the kingdom. This is my reality. Amen. We're seated for a while. So, if I come to tell you now that you have no other thing to do on earth,
than just be in church, sing praise and worship, clap your hands, listen to my sermons, go back home, repeat the process. And the same me come to tell you that we are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth and all that. How are we going to be able to? Did it even occur to you that everyone that Jesus called was working class? Tax collectors, fishermen, this and that. Because he wants them to bring the same mentality of profit. He wants them to come in. He met them at their duty post. He met them at their duty post. Sometimes I just say this and I mean it. I say it with all honesty and sincerity. Sometimes it's difficult to doubt, to believe. A student that it's difficult to believe. If I lecture a student and the student is doing bad in my class, and the student now says, well, I believe I'm going to be a pastor. We're not saying you cannot become, but there's going to be a sense of doubt that you are escaping. So Jesus died for 3 days because according to Jewish custom, they will not believe a man is truly dead until after 3 days. So it can be beyond reasonable doubt. He wants your profiting to appear to all beyond reasonable doubt that you didn't escape into a calling. Are you following me? Have I lost you? I said, are you following me? Say it loud and clear. I am smart. Now, are you smart? Now, I know I am. I know I am. Amen. Now, I cannot deny the obvious. I wish I should be able to. I can't deny the obvious. I said, your biggest problem is that you don't believe who you are. They say, wow, you look good. Say, oh, bless God. They are not saying God is looking good. They are saying you look good. The response is thank you. Do you understand? You look amazing. Oh, we give God the praise. What are you talking about? I like your glasses. It's God. Some will even go as far as saying, Pastor Sasso, give me too much information. You know why? Because you really don't believe that you are who you are. So you use every Christian way possible to deflect anything good. And the easiest way is to say, is God. Is God. I told my wife, and I said, I'm going to soon enroll for PhD outside the country. Now, listen, and I said, I'm going to break all their records. She looked at me. She said, I'm going to break all their records. I'm going to set new records. And I said, I trust you. I'm not speaking a statement of faith. It's fact. Because sometimes when you say you are saying faith, is that you are saying, what I know is not possible, but it's just faith. Because I know that God did bless me with intelligence and I can't deny it. I know I'm good looking. I can't deny it. Yes. You look amazing. Oh, thank you. It's just like me telling my wife, you are beautiful. Say, we bless God. What are you talking about? My wife won't answer like that. She blush. My wife just made one hair recently, some days ago. And then Call me via video call. I said, like this.
I said, yeah, oh, amazing. To my luck, baby.
Don't forget that.
Yeah, wow, great.
Why will you be showing me the hair if you are going to bless God? Because it's fine. You are amazing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You are powerful.
Yes, sir.
Hold on a minute. Stand up. I say again, you are amazing.
Yes,
you are powerful.
Yes,
you are smart.
Yes,
you are intelligent.
Yes,
you are beautiful.
Yes,
you are handsome.
Yes,
hold on a minute. You are powerful. By that, I'm not just talking about the anointing to heal the sick. Power is what gets job done. When you enter into a room, what has stopped working resumes work. Again, I say, you are powerful. The reason you shake and shiver when talking to that girl is because you are not conscious of the power. And meanwhile, the girl already likes you. She's been waiting for you to come. But the guy doesn't know the obvious. Then he gets there and he's trying to beg for what he already has. Because he doesn't know. He thinks he's trying to like him. But she does already. Try to give him every sign. He won't get it. Because he doesn't. He won't even believe it if she tells him. He won't even believe it. Let me tell you something. Sometimes the strongest impression of yourself you have is the names you were called when you were a child. Because that's when your mind was at its most magnetic phase. That was when your mind was a plain canvas. They were writing jargons. But it's time to erase those nonsense. Because you cannot have dominion or walk in dominion if you do not know who you are. You cannot. I would have loved to share a story, but please be seated. I would have loved to share this story, but I don't want to call attention. Lift your right hand again. Say, I'm powerful.
I am not defeated.
I am not weak.
I am
intelligent. Now, hold on a minute. When man fell and God began to speak in the garden, and they hid themselves from God, the first thing God asked, said, Adam, where thou? He said, we had to hide ourselves because we are naked. God did not say, what did you do? He said, who told you? Because your information, the information at your disposal, controls your life largely more than your actions. Someone told you are not smart enough. And listen, sometimes it's possible that the first course you studied actually told you are not smart enough because you went to study what you are not equipped for. You know, sometimes, listen, let me say something you may not hear a pastor say. You know, sometimes it's good to just study something else afresh just to prove the point. I'm not dull. Say, why are you doing that? I need it for my mental health. Just to know. Just to settle it. Because sometimes you failed because in the days you failed, you were scared. You will not believe it. You were scared. I told you I was going to write an exam. Everyone in class, I had studied throughout the night. I couldn't comprehend it. Somehow our heads were just full. I tried to memorize. I couldn't get it. And when I got to class, I saw that they had concluded that Lazarus knows it. And if he doesn't know it, forget about it. Nobody else stands a chance.
And just when I saw their conclusion, everything opened up. That's it. That's it. Everything opened up. And I had, I can't forget again, probably 95 A or something in that course. Because they concluded. Why couldn't they conclude about themselves? Because they didn't know. They won't believe it. That you actually have the same brain. Say it loud and clear. And I want you to mean it. I'm smart. I'm powerful. You know, agents of darkness will brag you. But when you ask a believer, say, it's God. Because that's how to be humble. That's the way it was taught. Now, hold on a minute, because it's about to get really serious. All that I've been doing is just to introduce you to what I'm about to teach. And for dominion to be, for you to really walk in dominion, there are five realities you must walk in. Or they are called five horns of dominion. Number one, I'm going to list them, then I'm going to teach them. Is that okay? I'm going to probably teach one today, then I'm going to list them. Number one, hold on a minute. Okay, let me give you number one. You need the gift of men like horses. It is a world of men. It matters who likes you. It matters who your allies are. Even Jesus Christ grew in favor with God and with men. That's the first horn of dominion. The second horn of dominion is favor. Favor. There are things that you will have to do against all odds. The fragrance of God's favor upon your life will open the doors. You need what? Favor. What's the first one? Men like horses. Number two? Favor. Number two? Favor. Number three? What you call fame or influence. Fame or influence. You are a champion only to those that know you. There are things you will do effortlessly if you will dare to step out. You know, there are people who pastor in cities that they've come to. They have the money, but they've come to conclude that big billboard is for big men. They don't have the audacity to step out big and make big statements. There are things you will do more effortlessly if God has gone ahead to announce you, or if your work has gone ahead to announce you. So the Bible puts it like this: no one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. See, the fact that you are not bold to push out what you are doing for the fame to reach the ends of the earth, you will struggle at that level till you have sense. It will let you know that those that the doors is opening for, it is not because they are special, it's because they are the ones that are known. And the best place where you put out the things you do is on your WhatsApp. Who is there working in billions? No one. Just your village people who are there. There are better platforms that you should be audacious enough to push it out. It won't. Because somehow there is an invisible chain that has concluded that that platform is for those bigger people. There are people who not even dare to wear some fine clothes because I'm not that fine. I should not be seen. I should not draw attention like that. Who are you not to draw attention? Who has beguiled you? Who lied to you? Jesus read the Bible, book of Isaiah in Luke 4. And the Bible said the eyes of all them seated was fastened on him. When you enter a room, all heads should turn. It's a normal thing to happen. What's the first one? men like Ossie's. The second one, favor. The third, the fourth, wealth.
You see, the Bible did not say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of what? Money is the root of what? And even money itself answered to how many things? Now, listen, the reason why I'm listing them is because I'm going to break them down one by one to show you how that your life will be full of struggles without these things. The decision to live an obscure life with the gift, graces, and talent. And I've been saying, so just what people are singing. By now. So what we do is that we keep lighting the candle and putting it under a bushel and say, my time will come. It's not going to come. It's not going to come. You are missing the time. You are missing the time. Your light should therefore so shine. How will it shine? Put it out! Shine it! Extend it! Sit with your videos, edit it, and sponsor it. Just your circle, your small circle, are the ones who know you are sound. You have so much to offer, but no audacity to push it. So, the devil is going to take advantage of us if we despise the role of finance. We need finance in every aspect. In marriage, in ministry, in everything you do. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Even as your soul, what? Prospers. What kind of doctrine from the pit of hell will make you feel that once people talk about excellent finance, they are being materialistic? How did the devil get us to this point? How did the devil get us to this point? So you cannot exercise full dominion as a poor man, because you'll be defeated again and again. You cannot exercise full dominion if you don't carry favor. You cannot exercise full dominion if you don't have the gift of men. It doesn't matter the covenant upon Joseph. He took a man to speak before him, before a man. A man spoke for him before a man. And a man decided when the season of prison ends. See, to despise men is to despise God's reality. Men are powerful. And the fifth horn of dominion. The fifth horn of dominion, power. Power. So let's pause a bit. Now listen, and listen well. One way you can get to your God-given destination on time is to be blessed with the gift of men. Men like horses. The meaning of that statement is individuals that heaven has assigned to you, who will not stop carrying you till you get to your destination. Now hold on a minute. Before Esau and Jacob were born, what was the word of the Lord about them? The elder will serve the younger. Did God say that? Talk to me now. Did God say that? Good. What did Isaac decide? The elder, you go bring me a venison that I, as a man, can decide to bless you, then I will live. Jacob was not rightly positioned because he didn't hear. It was his helper that was positioned. And if a baker did not hear, Jacob was finished. So it was Rebecca that heard and said, come, your father has determined to bless your elder brother. So he said, okay. Said, now quickly, I will fetch a kid, I will prepare it, you go serve him.
okay.
What if he discovers that I'm Jacob and he will curse me instead of blessing me? The mother said, let the curse be on me. There is a gift of people that they seem to be going too far, you don't understand. And you wonder, why are you doing all this? Because in helping you is the fulfillment of their purpose. But you must attract them to walk in dominion. There are people who have billions of naira stacked. They don't know what to do with it. Their purpose is to finance your God-given visions. Are you didn't pick that? So to despise men is to despise God's provision. Because that's God's provision in them. And Jacob was wondering, why are you saying this? Why, well, what have I done to deserve all these things? First thing was that I didn't hear. But the one who needs to hear heard. That's the gift of men. That's the gift of men. Now look at it. When Absalom was fighting David, and they were plotting with Ahithophel, as touching how they can kill David where he was in the valley. Now, one of the men of Absalom said, you cannot kill David like that. He's a man of war. He said, and then also consider the mighty men around him. He said, they are like beasts that turn in every side. That is, these ones, their life purpose is to keep this guy alive. There is a blessing of people whose life purpose is to carry you. You cannot do it on your own. You will struggle. You've got to allow the gift of men like horses. I said, don't worry. I have you covered. Say, well, but I didn't pass that exam. I said, don't worry. You just call me by so and so time. And you begin to wonder, what have I done to deserve this kind of gesture? It is the gift of men like horses who will not stop carrying you till you get to where you should get to. That's also their own purpose. It's like they were equipped to equip. They were blessed to bless. You need that. So daily there came to David men to help him. Daily. Not once in a while. The issue is that you get helped once in a while. And you are no longer used to it. You get helped. When was the last time someone walked up to you and said, name your price. What do you want? Has God run out of men? Is help scarce from above? Has God changed his mind about his promises? Why are you walking under a heaven that seems as hard as iron? And a head that seems as hard as brass? Where did help go in your equipping? You know why? Listen, sometimes people are not seeing it because they are not expecting it. They are not expecting it. Everyone seems to take pride in their ability to start and finish and say, I'm self-made. The reason why most times you are not seeing it, it's because of the glory you want to take it. I say, when we did this, nobody gave. I did it. Shh. It sounds powerful, but it can be better. Because God has men who can carry it. Tell your neighbor, allow yourself to be helped. Allow yourself to be helped. Allow yourself to be helped. Allow yourself to be carried. Let's carry you. Let's help you. Let's tell you about the job that is available. Let's help you get your visa. One of the most difficult things to do to a man is to get him to accept help. You feel that needing help is obvious because sometimes people don't even know what they need, but they need it. You get what I'm saying? And sometimes it is that Their heart is fixed that life has to be difficult. And we have adages like "Eni toju opa, tuwemi opa, ishelo mapa." That is, the one that did not labor under the rain and inside the sun is going to die of poverty. And we believe it. So you believe that the proof of being blessed is that I must suffer. So you by yourself declare a season of suffering and you tell, I am suspecting that blessing because I have not suffered. God said, no. You don't have to go through what he went through. This is my plan for you. Say, no. Actually, it is the suffering that is designed to make me strong. Where is the place of the word? The issue is, you already anticipated problems. You asked for it. You are okay with it. And you are settled. So if you sit and say, God, now at this point, I can no longer go further by myself. It takes a lot to get a man to the end of himself because he just seemed to have more fuel, and say, calm down, be helped. So even Abraham could not be helped. He could not get his son. He was trying. See, Abraham, stop that. Don't go ask the Buddha. He's trying. So God waited. And when Abraham was 99 years old, at the end of himself, then God came and said, I'm the El Shaddai. Walk before me and be perfect. So the Bible says in Matthew 5 verse 3, Message translation, Matthew 5, 3. And see, we now have very dangerous adage. Everyone help those who help themselves. If you can help yourself, why stress everyone? I can of my own self do nothing. Jesus said that. I can of my own self. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are blessed when you are at the end of your rope with less of you. And he, farabale, big, allow yourself to be. Allow yourself to be pampered. Give room for divine intervention in your wedding. Your honeymoon can be sponsored. What's who did that? So you look at people's expectation. It is nothing. Because somehow we serve a God we're not expecting to show up. It's just our belief. And somehow we also believe that it's a way to help him. So I don't put too much on him. He said, ask of me the ends of the earth. I will give you for an year. Ask. Yes, he said, it at all, you have not asked because you have not received because you have not even asked. Ask of me. He's saying, hold on a minute. If I give you my phone and I say, punch any amount you want, and you punch 10,000, you must be very stupid. How would you do that? Allow yourself to be helped. Where you are going is far. If you have to dig every well, you will die digging. There are wells that other people have dug. Drink of the water. Can I say this? Actually, you don't have to labor for everything. If you have to, where is the place of inheritance? Where is the place of favor? Where is the place? For you to know that we have problem already. When you woke up this morning, did you expect help? You did not. You prayed, but there was no expectation. So, anywhere there's no expectation, there's no disappointment. They say, the way for me not to have disappointment is for me not to have expectation. So, I'd rather not be disappointed. So you are saying, if I have expectation, God will disappoint me. That's what you're saying. What are your expectations? You actually wake up every day without one. You get into a city, you expect that you will suffer. And that's why you are suffering. Because the expectation of the righteous, good or bad, will not be cut off. Not be cut off. What you expect, you get. If you expect nothing, you get nothing. You are not walking in your God-given dominion because you want to do it on your own. Yes, I expect God to send someone to give me powerful SUVs for the mission. I expect it. I said I expect it.
Yes, sir.
I do expect it.
Yes, sir.
Maybe some years ago, out of stupidity, I might not have expected it. But now I do expect it. Because I discovered that it is not everything I need money for. Favor can pay the bill, the money do something
yes,
else.
Sir.
So your savings culture is powerful. But it is also with a conclusion. Nobody could help me. That's the conclusion. We serve God like the prophet of Baal, the one we are not expecting to show up. The one who has gone on sabbatical. Now, listen, like I taught on Sunday, that when Peter and James went to the gate called Beautiful, they said, look on us. The man was looking at their pocket. Where you are looking at is not the route God wants to take. You have narrowed him. So the way you have calculated your life and the things you have said you will do at this time, you will discover that they are logically correct to the extent that you are not expecting help. Many of the things you have said for 2026, they can actually happen this month. The reason you shifted another fight is because you are not expecting help. You are expecting by the natural process of the way things are going, by this time this will happen. So your angels say, we have it, but we wait. So they wait. 2026, he said. 2026 it is. What is your expectation? What is your expectation? Are you expecting help? If you have to run this race by yourself, when will you ever get there? There is help. There are people more powerful than you are on your path. Allow yourself to be carried. It is still dominion. Joseph could not share the story that I got to the palace myself. No, someone helped you. For Esther, Mordecai was there at the gate. For Joseph, that butler guy was there. Why do you want to be self-made? It's pride to reject help. It's pride. Say it loud and clear from today. I accept my God-given help. I am blessed with the gift of men like Ossis who will not stop carrying me till I get to my destination. Are you expecting help? Are you expecting to be carried? Are you expecting to be helped?
Yes,
don't do life alone. Allow yourself to be helped. So you run the ministry and then you believe that at this time we're going to buy this thing. One person can buy it today. That's help. One person can pay for everything today. Sometimes you want to do it by gathering. No, it doesn't always have to come through God. See, go and balance what I've taught tonight with what I taught on Sunday. Go and mix them. Go and mix them. You will come out. There are men who have been prepared for you. Now, I watched this, The African Priest by Dr. Paul Adefarasin. Yeah, tape. And when Moses Bliss came to minister, now he said something. Somebody's going to, why my God, he take care of it. He held him and he said, I want this church. We are going to buy him this. We are going to buy him that. We are going to give him this. We are going to... You see, what is mentioned, that kind of place, when they put your account details out, it is not hundreds of millions. Now, I remember I went to minister, for my friend, Mike Oropo, and when I finished, some of you watched the meeting online, all right? I carry favor. It's just my fragrance. See, when we did the inauguration service of Sweat of Life Church Abuja, someone just sat down there and said, you blessed me.
you bless me. I said, please, sir, can I have your account number? I said, why not? Why not? He just sent a small seed of 1 million. Inauguration service. Just 1 million. That's the entry point. And so they said, we are not going to take offering in this service today. Say, I want to do something we have never done before. He said, Apostle, send your account details. And they projected on the screen. He said, we all must honor him. You probably don't know what happened. My phone almost died within 1 minute. Oh, the cake. You know what I'm saying? With thousands of people watching online. Do you expect help? I am doing what I'm doing because there are people who have been assigned to help me. There are people who work in different parts of the world and God just laid it in their heart. Bless my son. Across board. Your problem is that you expect if it's not salary, it's nothing else. There is something called the gift of men like horses. Everything that has a price can also come free. It can. People can be queuing to help you. But do you expect it? Because I expect help, God is always giving people instruction to help me. God, I'm not a big boy. I'm a child. I'm your child. When it comes to working authority, do all those things. Oh yes, unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. That's sonship. But I'm a child and I want to be pampered. Now, we went somewhere yesterday and I was telling Pastor Henry, said before I came to Ibadan, I already separated a few things. I said, there's somewhere I said I was going to go to in Lagos, in Lekki, just going to do some things. So I told him because we sat down and I said, pay them. I said, okay, pay them, cancel so and so amount. He looked at me. He said, sir, you will tell me the secret. I said, let me even tell you the funny thing. This one is just the, take this. It's not even budgeted for, it's not even... So just pay them.
Hey.
It's not even my plan to you. This one just came. Oh yawa. And it is sufficient because I like that because it was the same person who went to Ikeja and tried to buy a shoe for 30 something thousand. One of my spiritual daughters and her husband came to meet me on Sunday and said to me, Apostle, God has asked us to ask you, what do you want for your birthday? My birthday is in November. So I tried to think. I've not thought of anything. I said, what do you want? The truth of the matter is that I don't just get favored on my birthday. I get favored every week, every day, like my birthday. It has never happened that a day came, I woke up and slept, and somebody somewhere in all the nations of the world didn't bless me. It has never happened. At least, let me, because this thing, every day, salary is monthly, help can be daily. They are not the same thing. Can I give you a minute to ask? I say, God, help me. I'm available for help. Would you say it? Just a minute. Go ahead. There are levels I need to walk in. I can't do it myself. Jesus. You son of David, help me. I received the gift of men like horses. Men like horses. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. They will tell you, I've not been any program like Emergence like you, but you are a good boy. And I say, I'm Shane, Elolo need no. You see, there's a way money speaks. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hello. Be a lolo need, you know. Huh? 4.5 million. Bugbe no ni Now, God is opening doors for you. Rooms. He's creating rooms for you. He's creating rooms. Yes. Yes. I've seen help several times. I told you, when we were doing this facility, at some point we saw that what we had on ground, we have millions to pay. Monday, this is Friday. We are closing with maybe 250,000 naira. We have money. You know me, when I'm having projects, when I tell you that we are buying an acre of land in Abuja, what do you think I'm coming talking from? You're offering help. If I ask you to give me a billion, you may not be able to give me. You try. But the gifts of men can pay the bill. For instance, it is a level that God inspires someone to buy it. But it's another level that God tells the buyer, give them, they are my people. They can happen.
Yes, sir.
Why did you limit him to contribution? And you cancel out all of that part, all of that possibilities, and just say, if Lagos Church will give 1 million, what are you talking about? Go and check any ministry that shifted level. It was help. Help. Right information, right time, right people. I was preparing for this meeting today. An agent called me from Abuja. I said, Apostle, you don't need to pick calls. I said, when I come, I'm going to talk to you. I said, do you have my acre ready? Do you have it ready? He said, yes. Just come to my office. I said, okay, I'm coming to inspect. Is it my work? Onisha Shishe. You want to walk in dominion? Allow yourself to be helped. There are men assigned for you. In helping you is their own promotion. Allow yourself to be. Can I give you one more minute as we close? Say, God, I just receive it. Come on, we are past time, but pray that prayer for a minute. I just receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. There is no amount that can't be cleared in 1 minute with the right help. One of the things we have neglected in the body of Christ is the ministry of help. Along everywhere, he wants to help you carry your load. He wants to carry it for you. I'm not saying, God, I accept the help. Now, listen. Between now and Sunday, there's going to be, listen, wild testimonies of help. Very, very unusual testimony of help. Those that the matter does not concern, but we carry it on their head. You will not lack help. What are the 5 horns of dominion? Men like horses. Favor. Fame and influence. Wealth. Power. We are not the congregation of defeated people. They were destroying buildings in Lekki then. When they got to Pastor Nerapu's church, he only called the vice president that he discipled. That's help. Do you want help? Yeah. I don't know if you want to be helped for your wedding. Why must you carry all load alone? Why? Why are you this hard on yourself? Why? For your mind now, you are a big girl. A big boy. Say it, I am your child, oh Lord. I accept your pampering. Come and pamper me with help. Help is here. Help is here. Help is here. Now that we have opened that portal, because now we have opened your heart to it, once we have created an expectation, then we have created a result. That's what teaching does. Okay? Are you expecting it now?
Yes,
sir. So seal deals you have never sealed before. Don't make it for 10 years time. Now. When?
No.
When?
No.
Now, before I leave, I want us to scream it again loud and clear. We are a city in every city. Say it, Strive Light Church.
We are a city
in every city. Are you expecting help? Or you want to carry it by yourself? You can walk. You have energy. You are smart. Are you expecting help? From today, the grace of the gift of men like us is, who will not stop carrying you. It is done. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a big hand.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.